We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Greetings to everyone in the room and not in the room. Everybody sitting in the beautiful city of Plano, Texas. Everybody watching on YouTube or somewhere else in the worldwide interwebs. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so glad to be bringing the Word of God to you today. I hope you've enjoyed this sermon series as much as I have. In fact, Marshall enjoys it so much that I don't know if you know it, but he is dressed up like a certain killer in the movies. Can anybody name who our care pet? Michael Myers. Absolutely. Absolutely. We might not can name our major and minor prophets, but we can name our slasher killers. All right. We just enjoy having fun around here. I want to remind you that fear is something that we all need to conquer. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Oh, you bet it. You bet it is. If you miss any part of the Spooked series, you can catch all of it on our website, redemptionplano.com, or the youtube.com. Yes. Just go find us on there. Today, I want to talk to you about theophobia.
Theophobia.
It's when you're afraid of Theo Cosby from The Cosby Show. He's the oldest son. That's what that is. No, it's not. And the younger crowd's like, what are you even, the Cosby Show? I've heard bad things about that man. All right, so, child of the 80s, forgive me. No, theophobia, what is that?
Fear of God.
It's the fear of God. Theo in Greek means God, so it's the fear of God. Are you afraid of God? Should we be afraid of God? And if we should, what should that fear look like? As we will see in a moment, the Bible tells us repeatedly to fear the Lord, to fear God. And that may surprise you. And if that surprises you, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to preach to you today because it is very surprising and it catches you off guard and it makes you ask some questions. And that is healthy for Christians to do. You won't have deep faith until you've asked some questions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you ask questions, that's when your faith really starts to deepen. All right. The subject of fearing God can be confusing, and hopefully I will not confuse you further. Hopefully I will straighten it out a little bit. I'm going to show you two pictures. Two pictures are going to pop up right on the screen. What is the one on the left? What is the one on the left? It's a xenomorph, spelled with an X, everyone. Xenomorph. That is the scariest movie creature I can think of. It's the scariest one. I can't think of a scarier creature than that. That is the scariest creature I can absolutely think of. It's from the movie
Alien.
Alien. All right, good. Also, Aliens, Alien Resurrection, and Alien vs. Predator, and way too many Alien movies, honestly. But that first one, whoa, really good. All right, so the creature is just absolutely a scary killing machine. It's a big surprise. Spoiler alert. That thing kills people. Like lots of people. Over and over again. Just kills people. All right. What does it feature? It's got acid for blood. It's got acid for blood. So if you kill it, it probably kills you. That's pretty bad. All right. It's got long claws. It's got a long, powerful tail. That's sharp. It will kill you also. And then if that's not enough, it's got sharp teeth. And behind those sharp teeth are another pair of sharp teeth. It's like, ah, and then another sharp pair. It will bite you twice. Do you get this? This is a scary creature. Say amen if the xenomorph is scary. This is what I call nightmare fuel. And I had many a dream about the xenomorph and what would I do if I were trying to run away from the xenomorph. Those dreams never ended well for me. On the right side of this picture is the invisible God of the universe. You can't see him because he's invisible. Should the fear of God be like the fear of the xenomorph creature? That's my question for you today. When we're talking about fearing God, should you feel the same way about the invisible God who created all things, sent his son in the world, all these good things? Should you feel the same way you feel about God as you feel about the xenomorph? That should be an easy question. Right? You are in trouble if you feel the same way about God as you do anything. But especially a xenomorph. Especially a xenomorph. All right. Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks to us. He says, I tell you, my friends, Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So Jesus right here is not giving us a real good, like a feel good sermon right here, right? He's talking about fear here, and he's talking about your soul, and he's talking about, what's that other word?
Hell,
all right? Yeah. It's some scary stuff here. All right, but let's point this out. The xenomorph can kill your soul or your body. Which one is it?
Your body.
He can kill your body, and then he can do no more. That's the worst the xenomorph can do to you.
Yes.
But the God of the universe, he is the one who has authority over your soul. He actually has authority to throw souls into hell.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark. Yeah. Jesus is really just right on the level with here. He's looking you straight in the eye and telling you the truth. He's not candy coating it. He's looking you in the eye and saying, you should fear the Lord. This is straight from who? Straight from Jesus. The fear of God. Somebody say the fear of God.
The fear of God.
Now the fear of God can be confusing. There is a right kind of fear and there is a wrong kind of fear. There's the kind, the fear the Lord kind of fear, and then there's fear a xenomorph kind of fear. That's how I want to paint this today, if you'll just stick with me. We need to ask ourselves, what kind of fear do we have right now when it comes to the Lord? I want to talk to you about the right kind of fear. We're going to quickly look at verses, and there are a lot more verses than this, all right, in the Word of God about fearing the Lord. Psalm 31 and 19. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. All right? Psalm 112 and 1 says, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commandments. Proverbs 9 and 10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Malachi 4:2. But for you who revere, who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. All right, you will frolic like well-fed calves. That's a promise for you. That's a promise. I frolic like a well-fed calf. That should be a bumper sticker or maybe a shirt. All right. I want to talk to you about the right kind of fear here. Now, just make sure I'm interpreting this right. Would you say that all of these six verses, did you feel like the fear of the Lord was a negative or a positive?
Positive.
It's a positive, right?
Yeah.
Only good things were said. How abundant are the good things God has stored up for those that fear him. Blessed are those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord adds length to your life and brings you into life. Those that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise upon you with healing. My goodness. So, these are all good things. Not a single bad thing. Would you agree?
Yeah.
We're all interpreting it the same way. That is great. This is the right kind of fear of the Lord. Right here. It's good. And it's blessed. And it's abundant in goodness. And it brings you to life, and it lengthens your life, and it gives you wisdom. Fear can be a good thing. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Can fear be a good thing? Oh, absolutely. This may seem crazy, especially since we've spent, I don't know, a whole sermon series telling you how bad fear is, right? We've told you how bad fear is. Now I'm telling you, I'm just doing about face. Fear can actually be a good thing. In the natural, let's think. In the natural, not even spiritual, in the natural for a moment, a little bit of fear can heighten your senses and focus. Have you ever felt a little bit of fear and it just went like, whoa, now I'm centered, now I'm ready to run. Like you're running outside, you're going outside with the trash, and then suddenly you hear something and it's like, whoa, suddenly you can hear everything.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the Matrix, and like somehow, like fear can heighten all of your senses. If you're going to go do something in sports, a little bit of edge is a good thing. Don't get rid of the edge, they'll tell you. Use that edge because it heightens your senses. It's like the mechanisms that make up your body come to the realization that this is serious. We're going to pay close attention. A little bit of fear can help you study and accomplish tasks. You ought to be a little bit afraid when you're studying. It's a good thing. Those butterflies in your stomach before you get up and, I don't know, address your class can be a good thing. And you've experienced those things. It's when you let them run overboard that's when it's bad. But it can be a good thing. Fear can be an excellent motivator, and fear can actually boost something called adrenaline that'll help your body in conflict. All right. Fear can also be a respect and reverence. So we're getting out of the natural real quick. When you fear something, you are giving a respect and a reverence to something. For example, there are power tools in my garage. Right? Power tools. Miter saw, circular saw, drills, nail gun. I recently bought a miter saw for the first time, and I had to cut something. And I was like, wife, could you come out with me? I was like totally scared of that thing. And right, don't look at me that way, Taria. It is the scariest thing. You go, bang! It's like, what? I just killed everyone in my house. I'm sure of it. It's that loud. And it's like, you got to be a little bit afraid of that thing. You need to be afraid of that area where that blade is, and you need to keep your body away from that blade.
Show them how you did it.
No, so you're supposed to put it down like that, but I'm like, this is the first time I'm using, like, I'm like, oh God, Jesus, please help me, Lord. Oh, good. Thank you, wife. You've been a great help. That's right. Anybody need me to do handyman work? Please don't ask. All right. I need to have reverence for that blade because it could cause harm to me. All right. It would be benefit for me to have respect for where the nail gun is pointed,
yeah.
Right? To be careful with that hammer and the placement of my thumb on the nail in question, right? You follow me on this. There's a little bit of respect and reverence that fear can be that are absolutely beneficial. When the Bible tells us to fear the name of the Lord, it means to show reverence and to show respect. Don't you dare put God's name in a swear word.
No.
Don't you dare make light of his name.
No.
Don't you know that his name has more power than a miter saw?
Yeah.
Don't you know that his name is more powerful than anything in your garage? You with me? My goodness. Show his powerful name respect, or you could actually hurt yourself. Funny story in the Bible. Don't have a whole lot of time to go over, but it's in the book of Acts. There's the sons of Sceva. Now, these are not spirit-filled believers, but they see Paul, they see Peter and the rest going out and rebuking demons and them coming out of people in the name of Jesus. And so they're like, well, we can say the name of Jesus just as good as they can. And so they go up to a demon-possessed person and they say, in the name of Jesus, come out. And you know what happens? You know the story? The demons come out of that man. And they say this. This is words from the demons. They say, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And they attack those men and strip their clothes off, and they run away all scratched up and naked. What happened there? They used a name that they didn't really respect. They didn't really have reverence for. This is in your Bible. You are in danger when you start using his name in disrespectful ways. Not because God's mad at you, but because the power of that name, you're dealing with it improperly, and you are going to cut something off just like you're playing wrongly with a miter saw. Does that make sense? For this reason, God gives us one of the Ten Commandments. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Exodus 20 and 7. Absolutely. When the Bible tells you to fear the Lord and his commands, it means you should honor and respect God and actually obey him.
Yes.
Well, let me just be little, just come here with me. Okay, I'm just going to be nice about it. But when we're worshiping God, we're honoring God and we're respecting God. But we also, the closer we get to his presence, the more we also need to make sure that we're obeying God. Do you see that? That's a little bit of the fear of God. You can be a little bit too casual with people, right? People, have you ever gone over to someone's house or someone came over to your house and they were just a little bit too casual with your stuff? It's like, you know, I don't mind people being casual, but my gosh, are you eating out of my fridge right now? What are you doing? Like this, like, guess what? If we aren't careful, we will come into his house, we'll come into his presence, and we'll just kick up our dirty feet and we'll just eat out of his fridge and just enjoy his presence, but not respect his presence, not honor his presence, not reverence his presence. This is the good kind of fear, and I want to encourage you to have it today. Not only do you need to be in the presence of God, but you actually need to obey this God. This is the right kind of fear. This fear of God can be a good thing. As the scriptures we looked at earlier declare, when you honor God, fear God, you're going to be blessed. When you fear his name, reverence his name, righteousness and healing are coming your way. And abundant goodness is for those that fear the Lord, respect the Lord. Really quickly, I want to give you seven qualities of the fear of the Lord. Seven qualities of the fear of the Lord. Right, number one. It's actually a gift from God. It's actually a gift from God. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Paul says this. He says, continue to work out your salvation with what?
Fear and trembling.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you should go around the rest of your life going, oh my God, am I saved or am I not? Am I saved or am I not? Am I saved? Like, no. But you should take very seriously the working out of your salvation. Yeah, you claim that you believe in God. Do you really believe in God? And only you know that. Only you are really living that life that then declares that, yes, I do believe in God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a big deal, this following Jesus thing, right? It continues, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This fear and this trembling is actually God working in you. I've seen some people, when they got saved, they were bawling. They were trembling. It was a powerful moment. It's not just a, yeah, sure, yeah, I'll take Jesus. No, it's your whole life being devoted to Jesus Christ. There's a level of respect and reverence in that. Number one, it's a gift. Number two, it produces godly humility. When you fear God, guess what? It means that you no longer act like God yourself. You can't, if you're acting like you are God, you aren't respecting the true God. You when you fear God, you're actually looking to him. If you aren't praying about what you're going to do next, are you really respecting and honoring God? You gave God your heart and your life, but you're not going to ask him about the next thing you're going to do? That doesn't make any sense. Am I right? It produces godly humility. Number three, it instills obedience. When you reverence God, you obey him, because you can't do that without listening to him and obeying his commands. Number four, develops godly courage. Fear actually brings courage. Because the disciples of Jesus feared God, they courageously stood against very scary situations. It's so crazy that fearing God actually brings out courage in you. Wild scripture, I really don't even have time to like dig in, but in Revelations 21, it talks about people that will end up in hell. And you know what the first one is? It says the word fearful. Those that are fearful and terrified of the wrong things. Those that are cowardly, if you will, in the Greek. The cowardly will find their way in hell. But those that fear the Lord, they have this courage and they can do all things. They can stand up against lions and giants. They can stand up behind, but for the Sanhedrin or political powers, they can go right to the point of death with full assurance in Jesus Christ. That is not wimpy. That's not cowardly. That's the fear of the Lord. And there's nothing braver than it. Number five. The fear of the Lord helps us reject sin. Because we fear God, we will reject the temptation of sin. Yeah. I'm sorry, devil, I am way more afraid of the one who actually has the authority to throw my soul into hell. I'm not listening to you another moment. Number six, it builds godly leaders. The best leaders fear the Lord. Number seven, it leads to loving God. You are not loving God if you aren't respecting God. You are not honoring God if you don't obey Him. And all this leads you to loving God. Those are the seven qualities. I want you to ask yourself today, do I have these seven qualities? Are they at work in my life? Am I fearing the Lord with the right kind of fear? There is a right kind of fear. But there also is a wrong kind of fear. So let's talk about that. There is a fear that does not lead to respect. Does not lead to reverence. There is a fear that leads to terror and chaos. There is a fear that doesn't bring courage but brings out cowardice. There is a fear that doesn't bring you into blessing. And that is the wrong kind of fear. Of fear. I give you seven qualities of the fear of the Lord. Now let me give you seven qualities of the wrong kind of fear. Listen up. Number one, it's a curse of Satan. The fear of the Lord is a gift from God, but the curse of Satan is the wrong kind of fear. After one conversation with Satan, mankind has struggled with fear ever since that moment. All it took was one conversation with that devil. Number two, the wrong kind of fear produces pride. The terror of this fear causes you to take matters in your own hands and not seek the humble wisdom of God. Have you ever even tried to counsel with somebody that's scared out of their mind? It's impossible. They are flipping out. The first thing you have to get them to do is stop being afraid. Talk to me. Stop screaming. No, I've literally talked to people that are so freaking out that they, you can't even talk to them. It is shocking and it is scary. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That's the curse of sin at work in their life. And it produces a pride because they think, yeah, whatever they're going, like that kind of screaming at a high pitch. And they think that this is what's going to help me. No, you don't understand. No, there is a wisdom that's greater than this. But you've got to walk away from this wrong kind of fear and receive the beginning of all wisdom, which is to fear the Lord. Number three, it's lies. It's lies, man. Absolute lies. Instead of truth and obedience, this fear lies to us. We've all sensed that piece of fear that just lies to us. It makes us think the shadowy figure in the corner is something really terrible. It makes us think that the worst is going to happen. You've been afraid that somebody's going to leave you and walk out the door and never come back, and they weren't even going to do it. But fear made it so, and fear lied to you. It makes us believe things that aren't even true. If it's not true, it's the wrong kind of fear. If it hasn't even materialized yet, it's the wrong kind of fear. Number four, it brings cowardice. It brings the wrong kind of fear, and it leads to us running when we should have fought. Yeah. It leads to us running. We should have stood. We should have stayed. We should have stood, and then we would have had victory. So many people were so close to victory, but fear caused them to give up. Yes. Number five. It's powerless to reject sin. This wrong kind of fear can't say no to temptation. It doesn't. You don't ever feel strong when you're afraid like this. This kind of fear leads you to absolute wimpiness, and it leads you to giving in to every kind of temptation. Number six, it destroys leaders. A leader controlled by the wrong kind of fear, you can't even trust that leader. All right. Last, this kind of fear rejects God. There is a wrong kind of fear that will actually reject the things of God and reject the Lord Himself. Many people have the wrong kind of fear about God, right? There are people who say this, I can't ever step back into church because if I do, I know God's going to strike me dead. Have you ever heard somebody say like that? I've had somebody say that. Well, you know what? When I get everything right, then I'm going to come back to church. When I get out of my drug addiction, then I'm going to come back to church. When I can get off my pornography addiction, then I'll come back to church. Whatever I'm dealing with right now, I will deal with that. Then I will come back to church. But if I come back to church before then, I just know God's going to strike me dead. He's got a lightning bolt with my name on it. That's the wrong kind of fear. All the way together. And it leads to a wrong kind of thinking about who? God himself. There are people that assure that God is going to get them any moment. You ever known one of those people?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. There are certain that God is around the next corner. And he's like, oh, God's just waiting for them to show up. And then there they are. It's like, God's going to get us just like that. Newsflash, God doesn't have to wait anywhere around any corner. He doesn't have to hide and wait. If God wanted you dead, you'd be dead, friend. He's the God of the universe, bro. He's got more power. It would be terrible to confuse God with the xenomorph, wouldn't it? You see, that was more like a fear of the xenomorph talking. That xenomorph is out to get me. That xenomorph is hiding behind the corner. That xenomorph. One of my favorite scenes from Alien, you just didn't know you were going to this guy preaching today. One of my favorite scenes in Alien, one guy's in these vents trying to close all the vents to keep the alien inside. You think they're going to keep the alien inside? No, not on your life. That never happens. They never capture the alien like that, especially at the beginning of the movie. It's not going to happen. And so this guy, he's running through this. Then you see his little dot on the screen. It's like, it's 1979, y'all. It's like a dot. Beep. And it's like, there's our good friend Dallas, right? It's like, Dallas, you're doing so good. I don't see any sign of the alien. Don't see any. Just go right and just go, close that air shaft. All right, good. Dallas, you're doing so good. Wait, what is this? Beep. Oh, there's another dot on the screen. Beep. And it's getting closer. Beep. Oh, and it's like, Dallas is dead meat. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Gosh, it's 30 years old, guys. All right, sorry. But around the next corner was the xenomorph. And he was going to do you in. See, that's the kind of terror fear. That's the kind of wrong kind of fear. But people have attributed the wrong kind of fear to the fear of God. I can't go to church. You know, there's people, I can't lift my hands because, you don't know what I've done. I can't come to that altar because you don't know my past. I can't call on God. You can pray, I've got to fix all this stuff about me before I do that. No, it would be the worst thing to confuse God and a xenomorph. Say it another way. It would be the worst thing to confuse God and Satan. Yeah. But people have done just that. My goodness. I don't even want to know a xenomorph.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to run away from the xenomorph. Never know the xenomorph. Never see the xenomorph. Number two right here, the xenomorph, is it even knowable?
No.
The things that we're really afraid of aren't even really knowable. It's just going to destroy me. There's some things in your life that are destroying you. They're not even worth knowing or talking about or having in your life. I don't want to know the words of a xenomorph.
No.
Right? Worship and honor a xenomorph? Not on your life. There is never any reason to thank a xenomorph. Amen? It's true. I know it. I've seen all the alien movies. Never a reason to thank one. Other than food, the xenomorph has no purpose for you. God is not like a xenomorph in any way. How could you possibly confuse a xenomorph alien killer with God? Well, guess what? It happens all the time. The terrorist who straps a bomb to himself and goes into a crowded place where there's a lot of innocent women, men, and children and detonates himself and kills all those people. Why? For the purpose of approval to their God? Why did they suicide and kill all those people? Because they believe their God is going to be happy with it? Is that the right kind of God? No, somebody's taken a xenomorph, terrible, chaotic fear, and attributed it to a God and gone and done awful, hideous, terrible things.
Right.
It happens all the time. Let's come home to Christianity, because there are Christians people who call themselves Christians, yet they hold up signs that say God hates you.
Yeah.
And they spit at people And they rejoice when someone has a funeral because they deserved this. They will actually hold up signs and say that. Is that the right kind of thought about God at all? Did someone confuse a xenomorph with the Lord of love? You bet they did. When the church preaches doctrines that declare God has not given man a free will to seek heaven, to seek the Lord instead of hell, that God has destined some people to burn in hell for eternity, and that those people could never have salvation. There are churches that preach that everywhere. Yes. That's the confusion. That is so confusing. That's the confusing the loving God of the Bible with the xenomorph.
That's right.
When we feel like God doesn't have a problem with our unforgiveness. Let's come home. Here we go. When we feel like God doesn't worry about our unforgiving spirit, God has no problem with that. God doesn't have a problem with my bitterness, right? He doesn't care about my hatred or my prejudice,
no.
My racial prejudice, whatever kind of prejudice you got, prejudice that somebody's got money that I don't have, prejudice that whatever, or anything else that hurts people around us. When we feel like God doesn't have a problem with that, we're actually confusing the God of the universe with a xenomorph, y'all. God cares greatly that you hate somebody. God cares greatly that you haven't forgiven somebody. God cares greatly that you're carrying around this bitterness and that you hate people with a different skin color than you. God can't stand that. Can I say it louder for the people in the back? God can't stand that. That's not the God of the Bible. That's the devil. That's who that is. That's the wrong kind of fear. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I've been reading. Sometimes I read theological writings, and then sometimes I read Stephen King. So in the book The Shining, Stephen King gives a great quote. Here's that quote. "This inhuman place makes human monsters." I like that quote. It really spoke to me this week when I was reading. It's like this broken world that we live in. This is a broken world, right?
Right.
Oh, you bet it is. This evil place.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, this hurting place.
Yes.
This absolute terror of an earth.
Yes.
You hear quotes and you hear stats on human trafficking.
Yes.
And children with brain tumors that can't be healed. You hear these things all the time. And then you wonder what you aren't hearing because other things are swept under the rug, and that's the world we're living in. And by the way, this is the world that we're clinging on to like it's our hope.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. This world is not our hope.
Right.
The brokenness of this place. It superimposes itself on humanity. When this world fell into a darkened place, it superimposed itself on Cain, and Cain killed his brother Abel, right?
Yeah.
This inhuman place creates human monsters. I want to warn you that this inhuman place can superimpose itself upon your view of God. It can superimpose itself on your theology.
Yeah.
We can let the brokenness of this world lead us to believe that God is somehow broken. And that is just simply not true. God's not broken. We can let this unloving world lead us to believe that God must be a monster that doesn't love us. And that's not true. You can't let the brokenness of this world tell you about God. You need to let God tell you about this broken world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If you're looking at the world, you'll never understand the love of God. But when you look at the love of God, you understand that he loves this world and everyone in it. But you have to have this right view of God. If you got the wrong view of God, it superimposes itself on the world. There is a group of people, the same group of Christians that have those signs that I was talking about earlier. You can actually find them on YouTube. They took the Michael Jackson song where all the stars came together and sang, "We are the world. We are the children." Yeah? That song? And they changed the words. They superimposed the words with their doctrine. And these were the words. God hates the world. and all her children.
Jesus, God.
And they just look with stern, ugly, nasty faces. They've let the brokenness of this world, they let a xenomorph theology, they let a lie of the devil somehow get into their view of everything, including their view of God. And their view of God is so gross and disgusting that they turn around and hate other people. This inhuman place makes inhuman monsters. Instead of letting the God of the Bible reflect on the world, we can actually let this inhuman place reflect on our view of God. And when you do that, you have very little hope. It's creating a monstrous God, and that's the wrong kind of fear. This is terror, and it's not respect. This is xenomorph, and it is not Jesus. I am hereby today declaring that God is a Savior and not a xenomorph. We'll put it on the website. It's our official stance. The blood of Jesus saves. It is not acid blood. And the church said amen. All right. Even though the world is broken and messed up, God loves this world. You've never met a person God doesn't love. My gosh. God loved the world and sent his only son to save it. And you don't have to run in terror from God. You can run to God and find everything you need. Do you agree that a lot of people have the wrong idea about God?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Hopefully you got that. I wonder who could possibly be up behind such a vicious perpetuating the wrong ideas about God. Who could possibly be? Could it be Satan? Anybody? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You be careful with those questions. Did God really say? Moving on, verse 4 here. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes, will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." From the very beginning, this is Genesis 3. From the very beginning, Satan has been spreading the wrong idea about God. He put doubt in Eve's heart about what God had said. And when you put doubt in what God says, it brings doubt into God's character. Because if you can't believe what he says, you can't believe who he is. That goes for people too. You young people trying to date somebody. If you can't believe what they say, you can't believe who they is. All right. You got to understand and believe what God says. All right. So Satan did this. Satan calls into question God's motives, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, God's motives about his rule of not eating the fruit of that tree. What was God's motives behind that? If you want to know the next step before walking away from God, it's not trusting the motives of God.
That's right.
Because when you trust God's motives and you understand God's motives, spoiler alert, you will never walk away from him.
Right.
You will never want to walk away from him. Amen. Because you understand his motive. But if the devil can just turn things upside down, if he could twist things and get you to misunderstand the motives of God, Satan has never stopped this work. This work did not end in Genesis chapter 3. He's been calling God's motives into question ever since. Let's set the record straight on God's motives. God is love. His motive is love. God's motive is one thing, and it's only one thing. It's not love and something else.
No.
It's not this, and if he has time, love.
No,
he has one motive, only one motive. Why did he create the world? Love. Why did he create humanity? Love. Why did he give us air to breathe? Love. Why did he send his son into the world? Love. Why do we have a Bible to follow? Love. Why is he coming back? Love. Why did he create heaven? Love. Why did he do what he did today? Love. Why did he do what he's going to do tomorrow? Love. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know his motive. His motive's love. I don't know exactly why God does what he does, but I know he does it in the motive of love.
Yes. Wow.
And even when I can't get this brain to understand it, this heart can understand that a God of love is somehow with me. When he doesn't answer my prayer, he is loving me all the same. If you've got questions about hell, I am the dude to talk to. You talk to me, because I would actually tell you, I don't have time to go into it today, but we will have a fascinating cup of coffee and tell you these words, that God's motive in creating hell was love. Every motive of God is love, all right? That's some big knowledge right there. If I could put that in the hearts and minds of every person in the world, I'd give my life to do that. That would be so awesome. God's motive is love, not fear. I'm told you to fear the Lord, but I'm going to tell you that's not his motive. Hatred's not his motive. Anger, pride, power, ego, money, greed. His love is his motive.
Yes.
If you have the wrong idea about God today, it's because you have been confused about God's motives. You won't ever be terrified of a God who loves you and wants his best for you. Not ever. You've done something terrible in your past, but you can come to God today and find forgiveness simply because he loves you.
Amen.
Even when you have been terrified of God, he has loved you. Even when you've been the person not worth loving, you would say about yourself, he has loved you. I want to tell you that love is not something God does. It is who he is. This is so crucial. You and I, we try to love people. It's like a thing we do. It's not a thing he does. It's who he is. It's what 1 John 4:8 says. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. When we're operating in loving each other, we're becoming that much closer to God, because God is love. That's why you've got to love people, y'all. That's why we can't hate people. So God is, present tense, love. He never ceases to be love. When you fail, he doesn't stop being love. When you eat of the forbidden fruit, doesn't stop being love. Even when Judas betrayed Jesus, he didn't stop being loved. He is love.
Amen.
So there is the right kind of fear and the wrong kind of fear. How do we have the right kind of fear? Let's talk about that real quick. The wrong kind of fear is a terror that causes you to run away from God, right? The right kind of fear causes you to respect and honor God. We need the right kind of fear. But we need something more than fear. Sarah, I'm going to ask you to come here. We need something more than the right kind of fear. We're going to stay in 1 John chapter 4. We just read verse 8. Now we're going to go to verse 18. You get ready. It says, read it with me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So we told you today, Jesus himself says you need to fear the Lord. I am definitely not arguing with Jesus. That'd be a dumb move, right? You don't want to argue with that dude. He's God. All right. I want to tell you that you need something more than fear. And this, according to this scripture right here, I want to tell you that love is greater than fear. Don't you get that from that verse? That love is greater. God's motivation towards us is love. And so we need to actually mature to a place where our motivation towards God then is love and not fear.
All right.
Okay? So that you still have the reverence and the honor, not the terror and the chaos, but the reverence and the honor. But above that, your motivation is not just to have a fear of, oh, if I don't handle him right, this could explode. If I don't handle him right, I could cut off my hand. No, a love motivation towards him. just like he has a love motivation towards you. When you love God and obey him out of love. Okay, so if you're married, do you want your spouse to do what you request because they're afraid of you or because they love you? That's an easy choice, right? Absolutely. Out of love is so much better than out of fear. It's the same way with God. When you love God, you obey him. And this is such a better motivation than obeying out of fear. Even the right kind of fear. Some people serve God because they're afraid of going to hell. I can relate to that. I've been there. I remember growing up in church, my major thought was, oh my gosh, I need to make sure I don't burn in that lake of fire. Not a bad thought for a kid. I'm not putting it down. But one day I stepped past that and I learned about God's love. And I want to tell you, it is so much better to want to go to heaven, to be with the one you love, than to want to miss hell out of fear. Follow that. Oh man, don't you know that's what heaven's going to be? You're going to be face to face with the one that loved you and the one that you love. Amen. Have you been spooked by fear? Then I want to tell you, you need love. There is no fear in love because perfect love, complete love, casts out all fear. And then love replaces your motivations. And then real quickly, it says fear has to do with
punishment.
Isn't that true? Yeah. My fear of the miter saw, I'm afraid of how that blade will punish me. The xenomorph, I'm afraid of how that xenomorph is going to punish me. Hell is what? When my thoughts of hell is why I'm afraid of the punishment of hell. But fear has to do with punishment. Love doesn't have to do with punishment. If you're not careful, you can be along these lines. Well, I got to go to church today. If I don't go to church today, I'm going to be punished for it later this week. I just know it. I'll have a flat tire. Well, I better worship today. Stand at attention. Let's see. Arms at a 90-degree angle right there. Yes, that's the perfect way. Right there. Got to do this. If I don't do this, God will punish me. Oh, sin. Got to be careful about sin, because if I do sin, I'll be punished. There's love lacking in every bit of that. I want to tell you, you can come to church and not love God. You can lift your hands in worship and not love God. You can walk past sin and not love God. What it's really about is love. When you love God, you don't have to fear punishment. And that love, it casts it out. It can't even hang around you. If you would walk in the love of God, if you'd start worshiping him out of love, if you'd start reading your Bible out of love, if you would start telling other people about him out of love for him, it would make all the difference in your life. You wouldn't have fear. Fear would go away. Fear says, I'm afraid and I don't measure up. Love says, I don't measure up, but I'm loved, and that's enough. Fear says, I better straighten up, follow God's commands, or I'm going to get in trouble. Love says, yes, God, I want to please you. I want to follow your commands. What else can I do? Fear is always looking to try to fulfill the barrier, the least amount. Love wants to do the most. Fear hears the lies of the enemy and just rolls over, believes them. Love hears the lies of the enemy and courageously stands up against them and says, not on your life. Fear runs in terror. Love boldly stands and fights. Love is greater than fear. I invite you today to step past the wrong kind of fear. In fact, today I even invite you to step past the right kind of fear. And I invite you to step into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. He loves you, and his love is better than life. Yes. God's motive towards you is love. It's time to make your motive towards God love. If you want to pray with me in this altar, I want to invite you right now all over this house. You watching, listening online, I want you to spend some time talking to God. That's the third thing we do every time we come together. If you've been experiencing fear, I want to pray with you in this altar. I want to pray with you. Come in the first 2 feet. It lets me know that you want to pray. If you're not feeling coming down and praying today, that's all right. Stay right where you are and talk to the Lord. Embrace His love. Start to talk to Him about, God, I want the motive that you have towards me. I want to love you with the same love that you have for me. You are willing to give your life for me. Lord, I want to have that same love for you, God. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness all over this house. Lord, I want you to touch every heart in this place. I come against fear. I come against all the lies of fear. I come against the curse of sin. I declare the love of Jesus in this place, Lord. Lord, bring victory to every heart, God. Minister to every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Let's talk to God in this house. Let's spend some.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.